Okay, now, the other thing is, you were waiting for the return of Guerrero. Now, obviously, overnight, you stayed overnight, you were kept hidden. There was no sign of the soldiers coming back, any of the surviving soldiers. None of them came back to the camp. There are no soldiers in the camp. They must have all left on patrol. Obviously, you were very urgent matter that needed to be dealt with by everyone. So early the next morning, you are ushered out of the tent to meet Gregorio Guerrero. And you see a young man standing at the edge of the clearing. He looks at you with an interested but inscrutable expression. He's not wearing like the typical Guarani tribal dress. He seems to be wearing more like Western clothing with a little bit of a Bolivian kind of styling to it. Something the headwear department makes him look quite Bolivian. His eyes say hello to you as you walk across the clearing.
All right, so as I limp over to Mr. Guerrero, I say, forgive us for being late for our appointment, but we ran into some difficulty with the military.
He says, ah, yes, the snake has many heads.
Snake, huh?
I show him the gun, this snake.
He looks down at it, and you see a quizzical expression, and he says, where did you get this thing?
On the battlefield.
It reminds me of a legend that we have amongst our people.
And what legend would that be?
The legend is about the one who sleeps.
One who sleeps?
Yes. She was sent to the earth by the gods of the other world and instructed to create a temple. Once the temple was complete, she lay down inside to sleep and has never awoken. One day, when us, her chosen people, the Guarani, will follow her, when she wakes, we will follow her back to the other world. And our duty, as her followers, as her people, is to tend to her while she sleeps, leaving offerings at the five pillows of slumber.
I think we have found two of your pillows.
Oh, you have. You have. Now,
I think we may have found the whole bed, to be quite honest.
Yes, I'm sure you've noticed the spire rising out of the jungle.
That was you?
We had something to do with it, yeah.
Apparently the temple may be resurrected by dynamite.
Ah, but remember, the monkey has less than three hands.
Definitely useful information.
One would hope he does.
We found that gun, the monkey had the gun. Remember?
The monkey had the gun?
The monkey had the gun. Yeah, we found the gun where the monkey was playing with it.
Ah, these forests around here are full of mysteries. Do not walk too deep into the forest, unless the forest walks deeply into you.
This is all very, very poignant information you are giving us. What we really need, chiefly, is a guide. Would you be able to guide us to the temple and circumventing the soldiers who are lately trying to kill us?
You say that these men of war are trying to kill you. What is their purpose? They have been despoiling our forest for 2 weeks now, searching for, I believe, for the dreamer.
They're definitely interested in the temple, for sure.
It appears that we have been aiding them.
Well, they must be sent away from here before the festival. The festival is our holy day when we all give praise and meats and fruits and our worldly goods to the one who sleeps.
And you deliver these to the pillows?
Yes, we leave our offerings at the pillows to sustain her through her long sleep.
That will be the festival of the dreamer? I think we heard about that.
Yes, we do that and then we smoke certain herbs and plants that allow us to get closer to her.
You guys see Richard, he can't quite remember, but when they mention the dreamer, he kind of gets a strange look on his face.
Not part of it, Mr. Chesterton.
Mr. Guerrero, I'm not sure you know this, and I'm not sure I should honestly share it, but the people that lead these soldiers out there are might not be human.
You have seen the devil? The devil and his minions.
The devil?
Yes, the evil one. Has the evil one brought his soldiers to this place?
I would like to register a snort of derision.
Certainly, there was a bunch of soldiers at the temple, and one of the leaders, Professor Thackeray, thinks it's some kind of skin disease, but I could swear he had a snake skin under his human.
Yes, yes. Beware, not all devils have horns on the outside.
I'll pull out that dagger that, or whatever it was that was, had a snake on it that was thrown at me.
Cool. It's really funny because I realized after we finished that we never actually discussed what happened with that thing. But yes, you have it. You have it.
And I'll show it to Mr. Guerrero.
And again, he lets out a gasp. He says, "This is the fabled fang of the serpent. This is a powerful device."
Really?
Yes, yes. It is said that you can send someone into a state of permanent paralysis.
Interesting. I just got a scratch from it when he threw it at me.
You resisted the fang of the serpent? Who are you? Are you a god sent to us?
Logan kind of stands up tall and kind of flexes his muscles under his shirts a little bit. Well, you know, some say that, maybe. My mother, for certain.
Now is not the time for theatrics, Mr. Selby.
Well, you are clearly on the side of my people. It would be terrible if these devils got access to the temple. I imagine, though, that they do not know how to gain access. If it has risen up, surely they will see the door, but perhaps they will not be able to enter the door. Maybe I can help you.
Any help you can offer would be most appreciated. We are alone here, it seems.
Then I will do that. We shall go now, yes?
Do you know anything about a living mummy on the inside of the temple?
The one who sleeps. The one who sleeps is... I do not know this term you use, but... The one who sleeps lives inside. She sleeps forever until she is awoken.
Okay.
We're expecting an airdrop here shortly this morning. Someplace off to the east, I believe.
Well, when you have collected your offerings from the bird, meet me near the ford to the west. I will meet you there in 2 hours. I will show you how to gain access to the temple if it has truly risen. With that, he slips off into the forest with that enigmatic look on his face.
But he was very philosophical.
Indeed.
So let's say about an hour and a half later is the time to receive the airdrop. You hear the drone of the biplane, and a crate parachutes down and lands with a thump about a few hundred yards away from you. And when you go and crack it open, they're sitting there almost saying, "Come and get me," are your Tommy gun drums, and some additional food and water and some medical supplies. And actually, was there anything else you wanted in that airdrop, any of you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They said there was going to be a flamethrower.
I forgot about that.
Okay, so you are fully equipped. You are relatively well healed. You return to find Guerrero at the ford, and then you head towards the pyramid.
I'm always impressed by the cartography.
And as you approach the temple, which you know where it is, you hear this dull boom.
Sounds like someone may have got there ahead of us.
Perhaps they are attempting the same tactics we had employed yesterday. Do we see the temple rising higher into the sky?
No, you see the spire poking up. And as you get forward, as you get closer to it, you suddenly, you finally see it in all its magnificence. It has risen up from the ground. Spirals go up into the sky. There is a doorway up above, or at least a stone block. And what you can see is that there are several Bolivian soldiers at the base, and they have literally just set off this big explosion. Once the dust settles, you see that there was wires coming down to a plunger box where they were standing. And then they're kind of looking up, and a very angry La Fuente is saying, "Idiots! Can't you do anything right?" And they're kind of bowing their heads and like kind of shuffling their feet. And Sergeant Angulo is also there. And he orders the soldiers to go back up and reset some more dynamite. But you can all make a spot hidden.
Logan would put his hand on Guerrero's shoulder and point at La Fuente and say, devil.
Si. That is the devil.
Logan, and particularly Logan, but Richard as well, you see that this dynamite has done nothing, absolutely nothing to the stone door. And Guerrero says,
these fools, they think that force can allow them entry to the Temple of the Dreamer.
Yeah, and Richard put his hand to his forehead. Obviously, he doesn't remember, but it's during something.
Well, according to your legend, then, what is the way to enter?
One must pay homage to the one who sleeps, that is all. One must intone her name.
These fools do not know. The name of the dreamer can only be known in dreams,
he says.
Well, let us all go take a nap then.
Guerrero says,
maybe that is not such a terrible idea. These men must try futilely for some time. Then I believe they will go if they are not successful.
I see. So you've mentioned before that your people commune with the sleeper through the use of herbs and psychedelics, I assume.
Yes, we have ayahuasca.
Would it be permissible for Mr. Chesterton here to also submit to these special herbs and ceremonies?
He looks a bit kind of dubious. He says,
the use of this herb is for religious purposes only and should be only consumed during the holy times.
And how many days is it to the holy day?
It is in a few days' time.
I mean, maybe an exception can be made because these guys are trying to get into temple. Shouldn't we get in and try to stop them?
Maybe. Okay, you can, the two of you that have been talking to him, you can both make some kind of in social role, either persuade or charm or...
I'm not very persuasive.
Do you want to spend some luck or do you want to push the role? Or...
Let me push. I will attempt to push the role.
Okay.
Oh!
I've offended him.
Yes, you have. And he says, I am sorry, Dr. Thackeray.
This is strictly for the shaman. And I'm afraid that you are an outsider. We cannot allow you this.
I respect your decision.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. In 2 days' time during the festival, maybe we will initiate you.
How many soldiers are at the temple currently?
There's 4 soldiers and 2 officers. So, I mean, you've taken on more, but of course, you probably, you know, you're not exactly in tip-top shape at the moment.
As I pull out my Tommy gun and start fixing the drum and, like, you know, checking it and, like, you know, applying some oil and stuff, I look at that El Guerrero. And I say, if we take out these few soldiers that are here, can we return with you to your village?
Well, I do not approve of killing, sir. I would rather we...
I'm just going to take out their kneecaps. That's what this is for. It's a kneecapping tool.
Guerrero says, I am not sure that is also a very good thing to do.
Why do not we take the road of peace, the road less traveled?
Well, Richard kind of points towards La Fuente. That guy there tried to kill me already. I owe him a few punches. He tried to shove me in a room with a monster.
You've just witnessed how good I am at persuading.
And he looks over at Logan. He says,
are you also a man of violence, Mr. Helby?
I'll pull that dagger out once again, and I'll show it to Guerrero, Mr. Guerrero, once more and say, this came from, and I'll point to La Fuente again, from him. And he's been trying to kill us since we got in country yesterday. So, what happens if they do manage to get into the temple before we do?
I am sure they will not be able to. Look at them. They are fools.
Are you positive?
Well, they're trying to blow up the door. That says to me they do not understand how to open it.
Well, maybe he's right.
Stranger things have happened.
At this point, I'm willing to undertake any strategy you think is worthwhile.
He says, Let us take the path of patience. They will become frustrated and angry before we run out of patience, I am sure. You say that two of the pillars have been burst, and that is how this temple has risen.
Yes, the soldiers were the ones that they did it.
Yes, the soldiers.
Then maybe they will decide they need to break all the pillars, and that is what is preventing them access. Maybe they will go soon.
I assume you know the location of these pillars. Perhaps you could show us one of these pillars.
Of course. I will take you there now.
Don't you feel the destruction of these pillars would just be an unfortunate loss of history?
I fear we are at the point now where the pillars of the dreamer must be opened. Her home is now being thrust up from the earth.
Now, Mr. Selby, it is not the pillows themselves that are being destroyed, only the pillowcases.
So, if you agree, then he will take you round. And so maybe you spend a couple of hours just doing a big circuit. And what you realize is that the two that have been destroyed, the one that was destroyed by artillery, the one that you blew up, those are the only two of the ward capstones that have been broken. There are three others still completely intact. And by the time you've completed your circuit, Guerrero says, "Do you see? This might be the next attempt."
Do you know how to enter the pillars without blowing them up?
No, we have never been inside. There are said to be great and terrible guardians inside each one.
My friend, you do not know the half of it. Giant mollusk, as large as a horse.
Yeah, that regenerates itself.
With great tendrils.
Yes, these are the things of nightmare.
Now, these things that of nightmare, that are they protecting your sleeper? Are they part of your legend?
It is unclear. But they are certainly there to prevent anyone from entering the wards.
Very well. Perhaps we shall busy ourselves making a trap just in case things go sideways, as they often do.
By the time you get back, at some point on the way back, you hear another boom. You get back, and again, their explosives have done nothing. And you can see that they're all very angry. Angulo and La Fuente are berating the soldiers again and smacking them around the back of the head and seem very frustrated at this point. You can make a group luck roll. So who would that be? I think it would be probably Richard.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to make a
luck. Lucky Logan.
No. So you're kind of waiting there for a good hour or so, and they haven't moved off at this point. They seem to be setting up another lot of dynamite, and you can hear La Fuente just barking orders at them, calling them idiots, saying that if they don't get access this time, there'll be hell to pay. And they're taking up a huge amount of dynamite this time, but it would be enough to blow up a small building. That's the amount that they're taking up to the top. And you can see again that possibly the walkway has got a little bit chipped, but this thing must be made out of some incredibly hard stone because it's hardly been scarred even. It's a bit blackened maybe from the explosion, but it's hardly been even chipped. Guerrero says, "You see, the Temple of the Dreamer cannot be broken into through normal means."
Mr. Selby, how good are you with that that rifle you have?
I haven't had a chance to sight it in yet, but I sure like to give it a try.
Mr. Guerrero, please take a walk with me. I wish to learn more about your ritual. Would you describe it to me?
I would say this is a persuade roll we're talking about here.
Oh no!
My God, this is. I mean, after the incredible early rolls that
Professor Thackeray cannot help but cannot hide his derision of all shamanistic activity, and he's just offending the guy left and right.
Yeah. Do you want to push that one?
Why not?
What do you say? Because you can see that he's very suspicious of your motives at this point.
It will give my language barrier. I'm not forming my ideas properly. But what I meant to say was, I have the deepest and most profound respect for your religion, and I, as a man of letters, I wish to learn more so that I may share it with the wider world.
Well, we must talk then, away from these heathens.
You're not sure whether you're referring to the soldiers or to your pals at this point.
I just kind of lead them a few yards back into the jungle as we talk.
Okay, all right. So you head back.
Has there come some kind of scope on this rifle?
Well, no, but if you spend around aiming, you can get a bonus dice on your shot.
They airdropped the rifle, but forgot the scope.
Yes, but you'll get a bonus dice if you spend around aiming.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if I could see or make out, like, the dynamite crate that they might be carrying around that's carrying their dynamite in it.
Now, that you just need a pair of field glasses for, which I'm sure you have.
Okay, so that's what I would do, probably, is try and aim for the dynamite crate.
Okay, that sounds like a fantastic idea. So, Logan, given that you're doing that, you're the one that gets to make the luck roll, which will be much more convenient, I think, for you all. Unless you're all 95. Wow! Okay, not only that, yes, you find it, and to your immense happiness, you can see that at this exact moment, all of the soldiers and the officers are standing around it, trying
coffee
to...
break.
They're grinding coffee on top of the crate full of dynamite.
They have a Stanley thermos sitting there with hot coffee in it. Come on.
Yeah, and one of them's lighting up a cigar. They're preparing to take up an even bigger quantity of dynamite. What La Fuente said, no, that's not enough. Take it all up. So they're starting to unpack all the dynamite. So now is your chance. If you want to spend a round aiming, you will get a chance to probably blow them all up.
So I'll take the round out of my pack that I'm carrying my extra ammunition in, and I'll roll it in my hands, and I'll kiss the head of it, and I'll load it into my gun, and take aim.
Okay, so you get a bonus die, so hit the purple.
Mr. Guerrero, what type of monkey is that?
Oh my god, you got a critical. You rolled a 0-1. Oh, yeah. You
pieces
hit it.
Pieces everywhere.
You hit it full on. That is an enormous explosion. Enormous explosion just rocks the whole jungle.
My word, what was that?
Guerrero says, they must have been trying again.
Whoops.
And when you look, there's just a blast crater. There's nothing left. There's not even any bodies.
Logan looks up to Richard and says, well, I guess it's sighted in.
Yeah, oh my. That was pretty good, Mr. Selby. Pretty good.
As Professor Thackeray comes jogging back with Guerrero, he gives Mr. Selby a little nudge.
Pink mist.
Richard's like covered his ears, and he's like just dumbfounded, just like staring there with his mouth hanging. Oh my goodness!
What's that taste in the air? It's like pennies.
Logan stands up and says, "Well, that's how they showed us to shoot in the army, anyway."
Wow.
Amazing. You have obliterated the rest completely.
So was that La Fuente as well?
Yeah, they're all gone.
Oh, right.
All pink myth.
Should
yes.
We check and see if there's anything recoverable from the site? Perhaps we can help those poor people.
Right, so you walk over, and maybe there's a few microscopic bits of bone fragment on the ground.
Tell me, Guerrero. Can your shamanistic medicine do anything for them?
Oh, the fools, they blew themselves up. Well, that is fortunate, isn't it?
Yeah, that is really fortunate. We got really lucky there, that they were so careless.
The devil's own luck.
Yes, it would have been a sin against the dreamer to have killed even guilty, evil people at the foot of her temple.
One must not offend the dreamer.
Okay, so he says, now we must ascend.
Okay.
And so you slowly make your way up the spiral until you get to the temple door. And he says, see, the fools, they do not understand. And now they never will. The mind of an evil man is like an empty pot.
Because I did pick up some of the Nepal language, I want to repeat the few words that I did pick up that I was in, and see if he recognizes the language or can speak it. Guerrero, I mean.
No, he doesn't seem to respond to them. He says, what language is that? Is that your language from your country, sir?
Oh, yes, it is Hindi.
Ah.
But tell me, does the dreamer speak to Has the dream ever spoken to you in your dreams?
Oh, yes. In our dreams, yes. But she speaks Guarani to us.
Guarani, that is your...
That is our language, yes. Oh, yes. I have met the dreamer myself. She always sits in shadow. She does not like us to see her face.
Well, what's she like?
Oh, she's great beyond all imagining. A wise and powerful, benevolent ruler of these lands.
Richard really wishes he could remember things right now.
Yeah, Richard really does.
Nope, but he can't. Nope.
And then Guerrero gets down on his knees and he gestures to Yul to kneel with him.
Okay, I kneel.
He says, all of you, put your hands on this door like I do, with your palms flat, your fingers stretched out.
All right, good. I will do that.
And say after me, we bow down to you, great Tyrannish.
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 And as Selby says that last word, you feel the door shudder under your fingers, and with a grinding noise, it slides backwards and then slides to the left, and darkness is beyond. And Guerrero says, it is not for me now to enter this place. If you wish, you can, but I am not permitted.
Why not?
It is said that us wise men, us shamans, should only ever see the dreamer when we dream. If we are to see her in the waking world, then it would bring down doom on all our people. But if you manage to wake her, then all great good things will come to us. I have faith in you. I trust in you. I don't know why, but I do.
Place my hand on your shoulder. You can count on us, good friend.
Be careful, though. It is said that her sleeping place is protected by great and powerful being. And with that, he kind of gently bows his head and he says, the blessing of the dreamer is upon you. And then he slowly backs away and walks back down the spiral. So,
man, this is going to make a great story to tell Molly when we go back to New York.
Last, let me see if I can get this flashlight to work.
Yeah, I'll take out a flashlight as well. I'm assuming we resupply after they stole all my stuff. So,
I will draw my sword.
Okay. So,
do we hear anything, Andy?
You listen intently. You can all make a listen roll if you want. Oh no, oh no. Just the sounds of the jungle. Inside, all is still, all is quiet.
I think I can still hear the sound of body parts raining from the sky.
Excellent. You going in?
Yes.
Okay.
Walking stick in one hand, flashlight in the other.
Logan leading the way?
Sure.
So the door leads to a passageway that spirals downwards around the inside of the temple. It's completely enclosed. It's not like you can see down into the temple. It's just like this long, coiling, tubular passageway, circular in cross-section, a bit like a sewer pipe. It's about 10 feet in diameter. The walls are plain at first, but once you've gone around one revolution, you see the same kind of bas-relief murals depicting the same kind of images that you saw inside the ward. Now, Logan, you're obviously the brave leader of this expedition. You're going first, yes?
I beg your pardon, sir. I believe we have all acted bravely.
Yeah, but Logan's the one that likes to go in first, yeah?
Yeah.
I linger on the sculptures or the engravings. And if I see any writings, if I see any of the Nepal language, I take out my paper and chalk and make a rubbing.
Maybe Logan will just take his camera and just take some pictures of it. Or study later.
Okay, so you can all make a spot hidden roll. That's the second critical you've rolled in a row.
The dice are on his side today.
Okay, so you get round to the second loop. And Logan, very clear, you know, you're taking photographs, and you take one photograph that immediately jumps out at you because you look up at the area that you were taking the photograph on, and you can see quite clearly that there's some kind of mechanism in the wall. There's like a, there's something in the wall, there's something on the floor as well, and there's a big long, like, slit, I suppose, in the stone. This looks to all the world like a blade trap to you. You've heard of these sorts of things before. So you're convinced that if you had been careless and stepped forward another foot, there could have been something pretty nasty coming down from the ceiling onto your head.
Logan stops and holds his arms out to his sides to stop the professor and Richard from walking into it, and I'll point it out to them. See here? Careful.
Do we see where the trigger is? Is it a stone on the floor?
It's on the floor.
Can we simply step over it and leave it in place for anybody coming down behind us?
Possibly, but I'd say that with Logan's critical success, you also realize that there's something also in the wall that seems to be connected to the triggering mechanism.
Can I investigate it closer?
Absolutely. So you understand that just by passing this point, the thing will be triggered, even if you jumped. So you're going to have to figure out how to disable it.
I have some mechanical repair.
Yeah, you do. So yeah, do you want to try and jam up the mechanism with your tools, Logan?
Sure, I'll make a roll.
Here we go. Mechanical repair. Oh dear.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, well, you start probing around in it, and you realize that it's got some kind of hair trigger that if you were to try harder, maybe you could block it, or maybe you'll just set it off.
If I were to just swing my sword quickly through the space, would it set it off? I'd like to try that.
You swing the sword, and unfortunately nothing happens. Judging by it, it almost seems to need like a person-sized volume of stuff to trigger it. I mean, maybe if you had a dead body that you could throw through.
Yeah, I thought of that, but there's nothing left.
No, there's nothing left, unfortunately.
Well, perhaps we can go back and grab a log and just roll the log in front of us.
How can I roll 289?
You fiddle with it a bit more, and because you knew what was coming, you're not going to take the full damage, but the blade does swing down. You just managed to get back out of the way of the main force of it as it clangs down from the ceiling into the wall, but it does slice into your shoulder a bit, and you are going to take some damage.
Mr. Selby, how do you feel? I'd be worried about those blades being coated with some kind of poison or psychedelic.
I think I'm okay for now. Let's push forward.
I mean, maybe they want to get tetanus, you know?
Trust me, I had all my shots from the military.
But I will be saying that I think we should all be on the lookout for more traps like that at this point.
So you do continue moving forwards and downwards through this long, long spiral. And after probably another loop, you don't need to make a spot hidden for this. It's pretty obvious because movement is very easy to see. You realize that the entire interior of this tunnel, it's riddled with these small holes. And a couple of times, snakes have just kind of slithered down out of the holes, dropped to the ground, and then kind of slithered off into the darkness ahead of you. It seems like potentially the whole of this temple is honeycombed with these little holes. And there are definitely snakes living in them. And they all seem to be, the ones you've seen, all seem to be headed downwards.
Why did it have to be snakes?
Do we know enough about the local creatures to know if they're poisonous or not?
You would need to make either a natural world roll, if anyone's got that, or a hard education roll.
I have a natural world roll. I have 60.
Oh, well, go for it.
Let me try here. All right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, Thackeray, you are very familiar with snakes. So are you, Richard. Yeah, so to your... rather unpleasantly, one of the snakes that came down, it wasn't all of them, just one of them, it was a coral snake. A coral snake, as you both know, it's called the 20-minute snake, which, you, as you know, is because that's how long it takes for you to die if you get bitten by one.
Careful. Calliopus hamibungaris. The caudal snake.
What is it, like red next to yellow, kill a fellow, something like that?
Oh, Doc? Yeah.
And look over there. Neptimocurius microodes. So my educated knowledge of snake. Just start rattling off the Latin.
Yeah. Richard just knows from his days in the jungle which ones are that one, that color, that one's bad.
Mr. Chesterton, there is one way to deal with snakes. Have you that flamethrower?
I'm prepared to swing my sword at the next poisonous snake I see.
Well, I mean, there are more and more like falling from the ceilings, but they are all slithering down ahead of you as if they're racing ahead to try and get to something or someone.
I see they are heralding our arrival.
So you circle around a few more times, and then you get to more of a wider area. And here you see this is where all these snakes have now been gathering. And you must be well below ground now. I mean, many, many dozens and dozens of feet below ground. You can almost feel the temperature and the humidity and the pressure changing as you've gone down. But there is a whole mass of snakes now. They've all been slithering forward, and there's just piles and piles of them in front of you, all writhing around on the ground. Many of them, of course, are poisonous. Others are probably not, but there's definite danger here. There's just this mass, roiling mass of writhing snakes ahead of you, blocking, you know, the entire width of this tunnel, even though it's wiped out now to 20 feet. Looking up, you see that the ceiling is rough and has various carvings and bas reliefs. It might be possible to clamber over the top, but of course there are more and more snakes also falling out of the ceiling as you're looking.
What do you think, Doc? Should I try to burn them? Mr. Selby? What do you think?
Our shaman friend has me thinking. Now, I don't really necessarily believe in all these things, but if we were to kill all these snakes in here, might we be angering the, I don't know, gods, I guess.
Oh, Mr. Selby, do not tell me you are buying into this shamanistic nonsense.
I've seen some weird things the last day or so.
I agree, but no more strange than you would find in the jungles all over the world.
Maybe if we're careful and don't bother them too much, they won't attack us.
These are not bees, Mr. Chesterton.
Oh, are you suggesting maybe like a walk of faith?
I mean, you had a good point, Mr. Selby. I don't want to anger. If there's...
You know what? Selby's just going to take it upon himself. He's going to start slowly walking down the hallway.
Brave man.
I have luck on my side.
You do have luck on your side. I want you to make a power roll, Mr. Selby. Which you're not very good at. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Mr. Selby, you're in the way of the flamethrower.
Yes, and Selby, for some reason, decides the best solution to all your problems is to walk straight through the snakes. And maybe you get about 5 feet in before they attack you.
Look, guys, nothing to worry about.
And yeah, you are now being attacked by this mass of snakes. Oh yeah, their dex is going to be higher than yours for sure.
My boot knife in one hand and my sword in the other.
Okay, so several of them just lunge towards you, and you're going to get attacked three times. By these snakes. Oh, okay, the first one is a hit. Do you want to try and dodge out of the way?
I'm poisonous.
You don't know yet.
Might as well dodge, yeah.
Okay. Okay, yes, you managed to dodge out of the way. The second one misses you, and the third one hits. Wow, those were very tight rolls. They needed to hit a 40. So, let us see.
Mr. Chesterton, did you see where he was keeping the anti-venom?
Yeah, I did. We're definitely going to need them, I think.
Okay, so this one is a hit. And this dice roll will tell us how much poison has entered your system. Could be very minor, or it could be really fucking bad. Now, if you can get an anti-venom applied within time, you can reduce this damage. But of course, they need to have the right anti-venom. But let us see. Oh, God. 16 damage. It's a bad one. Probably not a coral snake, because because that would probably have killed you. But yeah, you take 16 damage as you almost get all the way through before one final one just lunges at you, sinks its fangs into the back of your leg, into your calf, pumping poison. It feels like someone is actually taking a shotgun to your leg as you stumble through to the other side and make it through this mass of roiling snakes. What are you going to do, Logan?
Mr. Selby, are you hurt? Are you hurt?
You did say I could stumble through the other side of them, though, yes?
Yeah, I'll say you only need to make one gauntlet run, but you've really suffered for doing it.
Guys, that's not the way to do it. Yeah, I'm pretty injured.
We have to get over there, Doc. We have to get over there and help him. I guess I'll have to use the flamethrower.
Are we saying that I had the antivenom, though?
You've got the antivenom, yeah.
So can I try and dose myself?
Yeah, you can. I think it makes sense for the person walking through the snakes to have the antivenom regardless, but given that you're the lucky one.
Considering he's passed out the antivenom in his pocket, I'm not sure.
Right.
Okay, well, yeah. Make a luck roll. Wow.
Oh my god.
Yeah. You see that the little pack has labels on it. One of them's for coral snake. Another's for pit viper, another one's for rattlesnake, and you realize it was a pit viper that bit you, and actually that would reduce the damage by half, so you can get 8 hit points back immediately. But of course, it's not fully, you know, it's still very painful.
I'm all right, guys, I'm all right. Take your time.
Get out of the way, you fool!
Yeah, you're going to have to back up quite a long way, Logan.
Doc, don't you have the little gun? I mean...
I beg your pardon. We did not request a flamethrower to be airdropped. Do not use the flamethrower.
Yeah, okay. Back up, Mr. Selby. Incoming.
I'll go around the corner.
Yeah, you definitely go around the corner. Because this thing's gonna go across the whole mess of snakes. Right, so make a flamethrower roll. If you spend a round like steadying yourself, I'll give you a bonus die, so just to be nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna be really careful.
I put on my darker tinted pince nez.
Alright, here we go.
Right. Wow, you did it. Goodness me.
Flamethrower.
That was so lucky, because if you hadn't had that bonus dice, that would have been a malfunction.
It would have been 95, yep. Oh.
Mr. Chesterton, you take for that flamethrower like a duck to water.
And yeah, you just burn this long swathe. The snakes that weren't burnt up, they're all just fleeing to the sides of the chamber to get away from this heat. And now is your opportunity to run through.
Yeah.
You are both going to have to make a luck roll, though.
Okay. I will start running.
So what this means is that you are going to get attacked by one snake on the way through that just is taking extreme offense at its friends being burnt to a crisp.
This one half-burnt bastard just biting at everything.
So the first is Thackeray. That's a miss. And then Chesterton. Now, it would be perfect justice if you get bitten now, Richard. So
yes, it would.
But no. You can maybe hack at it with your machete as you go past and its head goes lopping off. So you are through. The snakes seem to be regathering, and you can see that they're now kind of slowly making their way forward towards you now that you've gone past. Almost as if they were waiting for you to go through. And now they're advancing, this big carpet of snakes towards you. So you've got to keep going unless you want to deal with them again.
Yeah, let's go. Man, that flamethrower is something else. I like that flamethrower.
Hey guys, nice to see you.
So, after many revolutions, the passage opens out into a vast chamber, some 200 feet across. Pillars on each side of the entrance to the chamber curve up and intertwine, combining into a snake's head with two green gems for eyes. Each of the eyes is the size of a human fist, and the passageway extends down in a spiraling arc to the floor of the Grand Chamber, in the center of which is a 20-foot tall stone helix topped by a figure seated on a throne.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sararak.
Yes, and you know, you're coming in from the left-hand side, and this archway with the beautiful intertwined snakes and the giant green gems for eyes is above you.
My memory being jogged at all?
Make a hard power roll, Richard.
Hard power roll. Alrighty, I will try.
Wow. Okay, for that, Yes. When you see this figure seated on the throne, you can't help but... You know that this is Tyrannish somehow. You don't know how, but you know this is the mummy, Tyrannish, which kind of frightens you, because even from where you are, you realize that this creature, this mummy sitting on the throne, it must be about 7 or even more feet tall if it was fully standing. It's big, and its dried up features are quite scary to look at. The dried up husk of a face of the dreamer.
Quite cool, actually.
She's cool.
This will make quite, a fine in the circles of New York. We will be written about.
Yeah. And he's thinking about the Vanguard Club in the back of his mind, but he's also kind of terrified right now.
Well, when in Rome, I drop to one knee, and I put both hands out. I say, we bow to you, great Tyrannus.
Your words echo around the chamber. You can all make a listen roll at this point. None of you are very good at listening, are you? Oh, finally. Logan, tick your listen roll. Logan, you can hear the sound of that mass of snakes approaching from behind. Soon they will be on you. And they seem to have increased massively in numbers. Almost like there's thousands of them now.
So in front of me is... Are they like stairs that go up to the Flecker throne?
Well, you're still standing in the tunnel looking through the archway at this pyramid. But yeah, they're steps, but they're it's not like a staircase. These are like 6 feet high each step. You're going to have to climb up.
I'll grab Professor Thackeray by the elbow and lift him, you know, pick him up from his kneeling position and look back from my shoulder and say, we need to move.
I feel you're right, Mr. Serby. To higher ground.
Okay. So you're all going forward?
Yeah, I'll go. Yeah.
Okay. Everyone can make a spot hidden at this point. Okay, so Richard and Logan. You both notice that the moment you step forward, the gems... The big green fist-sized gems in the eyes of the snake archway on top of you, started glowing green.
I'm certain it's just a trick of the light.
No, I don't think so, Doc. I think we might be in some trouble here.
Certain crystals, when you beam these flashlights at them, they retain some of the light within their crystal structure.
They do indeed. And this time, that light suddenly shoots forth from them as green beams of light suddenly play on the ground and then seek out all three of you simultaneously. These beams are going to try and attack you, and you will be able to dodge. Richard first. The
all
beam
right.
strikes out towards you, and it hits, and you fail your dodge roll, unless you want to spend some luck.
That would put me down pretty far.
Okay, so you get hit by the beam. Next, Logan. If you spent 17 luck, you could dodge out of the way. Do you want to?
I will, because I've already taken a lot of damage.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so you just cartwheel out of the way or something and avoid the beam. And then, finally, Thackeray. That's also a hit. You want to roll a dodge roll. So... You'd need to spend 36 luck, which I don't think you've got.
No.
Okay. So the beams strike you and cause you immense pain, just incredible pain. And you're both going to take damage. So, Richard, you take 7 damage. And Professor, you take 8 damage. And you're both paralyzed. Now, you're just frozen to the spot.
Can we still speak?
Yeah, you can speak, but you can't move.
Can I grab them and pull them to me? Like, through the door, I'm assuming I rolled or something?
And the moment you move, the green beam tries to play on you again.
See.
You realize that this thing is it's going to keep seeking you out.
Can I take aim with my rifle and shoot out the gem?
Yeah, absolutely you can. So You level your rifle and you fire and you shatter one of the green gems. But on doing so, you've exposed yourself, because obviously you had to poke your head out. And now you have got cover. So this thing needs to make a hard roll. So it is going to try and play on you again. A hard roll. Well, it has succeeded in either case, but your chance to dodge will be better now if you're able to. So the beam just creases the block of stone that you were hiding behind. Your friends are still standing there, absolutely rigid, unable to move. Do you want to try shooting the other eye out?
Certainly I will.
Okay. You cock your Lee Enfield again. Wow. You just managed. But that's a great shot. But at exactly the same time, the beam is firing at you as you aim it. So you are going to have to try and fend off one final attack from it. Again, it needs to make a hard success. And actually, it fails. You just managed to shatter it before the beam can move up to you. And you breathe a sigh of relief. But your friends, in two rounds, roll a d6, both of you, the ones that were paralyzed. Okay, so they're still paralyzed as you walk over to them. Check on them.
Richard, Professor, are you okay?
Milton!
Can't move.
I think he said all okay. Milton!
Kind of slapping him on the face.
Make a spot hidden roll, Logan. So, of course, yeah, you see that where they were hit by this green beam, their skin has started to blister almost immediately, swelling up and puffing out, and they seem to be filling with fluid, these huge blisters on their chests and arms.
Okay. Maybe I should lance them?
Do you know much about medicine, Logan?
I don't. I don't. It's 1%.
Well, in that case, I think you would assume that lancing them immediately is always the best thing to do with a blister.
Oh, Andy.
And you do have a sword.
As a ex-military member, I think that, you know, really, I know the snakes were still behind us, so I might grab my team members and pull them someplace where I think they're safer anyway.
Okay, well, where that would be is hard to tell because you're in the middle of this crazy throne room, but maybe you can drag them behind the pyramid just so that you're hidden out the way. So one by one, you drag them. By the time you finish dragging them, they're actually starting to come round again. It was only a couple of minutes that they were paralyzed for, but they're in agony. And both Richard and AP, you're looking down at these huge blisters forming on your skin.
Oh, this is not... Oh.
Mr. Selby, cut me.
You want me to bleed you? I saw that in a movie once.
Do any of you have any medicine?
I have first aid, not medicine.
Well, yeah, you can make a first aid roll.
Okay.
Okay. So, Richard, you know that bursting a blister as soon as it's formed is actually really bad for you. There's a reason that they form like that, to protect the damaged skin underneath.
Okay, yeah, I'll say, guys, don't, I had enough blisters from plants in the jungle to know you don't bust them right away. There's a reason they're there. You gotta leave them, as ugly as they are and as painful as they are. You gotta leave them. Don't put that sword away, Mr. Selby. Don't go after my blisters, please.
The pain is incredible. Where's the flamethrower?
Let us get to higher ground immediately. Those snakes, hot on our tails.
So there, you are now standing right at the foot of this extraordinary structure, this helix-shaped dais. Yeah, it's a 20-foot tall stone helix, and it seems to almost be an echo of the spiral design of the temple. And right at the top is Tyrannish, is this mummy of Tyrannish. Each step is about waist height, so it would be relatively easy to climb up. It seems to be covered in a very beautifully layered and ornate plaster, the dais. And looking at it, the throne itself is beautiful and ornate. It seems to be carved from an entire single and huge block of jade. You can't even imagine how anyone could have found such a large piece of jade, but there it is. And it's decorated with fine metal filigree ornamentation, depicting strange forests and curious beasts. And the figure itself is a horrifying but magnificent serpent person dressed in fine crimson robes, edged with golden thread. The figure, of course, is still, eyes lightly closed, as if sleeping.
Richard is pretty scared at this point, so he's just like, this isn't good.
Mr. Chesterton, come. As painful as it is, we must recover that mummy. You will see fame in New York for this. It will be written about in all the publications.
Oh, I'll just focus on that. I'll focus on that, yeah. And he starts to, like, think about getting into the Vanguard Club and impressing Molly. So, as he's climbing.
You grab its legs.
Okay. Richard and Professor, you start climbing up the pyramid. You know, it's not going to be a difficult step up, as I said. It's only waist height. The problem is that as soon as you take your second step onto the next level, the whole structure you're standing on begins to tremble, and the plaster-like surface of the steps starts cracking and breaks open at the base, and huge clouds of dust come billowing out. This whole thing is starting to shudder and shake and crumble away below.
I fall back immediately.
Yeah, jump back, yep.
You can both make a dexterity roll.
Not my strong suit.
Richard, you manage to agilely push backwards with your feet and hands as the thing is crumbling, and you easily get back. Professor, unfortunately, though, you are not quick enough, and the whole of the structure, all the way up to the top step, has now completely collapsed in, and you tumble forwards, and you're a bit dazed for a minute as the dust cloud clears, and you realize you're lying on something big. And you realize you are lying on the back of the biggest snake you have ever seen in your entire life. It must be about 10 feet thick and coiled around, and it's just woken up. And this thing just starts uncoiling, and its horrible huge head just coils around the backside of the crumbled pyramid, and you guys are gonna have to fight. Or die.
Fight it is.
Sir Chesterton, I have need of the flamethrower.
I was just thinking it.
As it uncoils, you realize this snake is about 100 feet long and is the most monstrous thing you've ever seen, and you're all going to have to make a sanity roll just for seeing this thing before anything else happens.
100 feet long?
100 feet long.
Look at the titanium.
Wow. AP. Oh, dear. Oh dear. Can't spend luck on a sanity roll. Ah, boy. Okay, AP. You just take one. You just take
this
one point.
This is merely an animal. No need to get yourself worked up.
You are just rock solid. You're amazing, AP. Nothing bothers you.
I'm implacable.
Yes, but it's all storing up and it's all going to come tumbling down at some point. But, Selby, you're going to have to roll a d10. As are you, Richard. Oh boy. Wow, Richard, you are fine. That's Selby. Now, I don't know how close you were. You're okay. You're not indefinitely insane, but you are gonna have to make an intelligence roll. Here's where your stupidity might help. It doesn't. The pulp bout of madness real time button underneath your sanity. Oh, perfect. You want this?
Oh no.
Yeah, this is fine. Rage, red mist, you explode in an uncontrolled spree of violence against all your... Now, this is your first bout of madness, yes? I believe.
Yes.
You're going to suddenly uncover an insane talent that you never knew you had as a result of seeing this snake. So roll a d20. Useful, but maybe not exactly right now. You've developed something called insane vision.
I already have good vision.
Yeah, you don't need light anymore. You literally... So you gain another bonus dice to your spot hidden, and even in complete darkness, you can get to roll as if it were twilight. Amazing, amazing. However, if you ever fail a vision roll, your eyes become extremely painful and overly sensitive, and you either that, or you're going to suffer delusions for the next hour.
I see everything.
But you are going to go into a rage, and who's got the highest dex?
I think I do, yeah.
Yeah, Richard, so you've tumbled back. You can see this creature rearing its head up, ready to strike. You're the only one that can go before this creature goes.
AT's like right on it, right? The dock?
Yes. I'm on its back.
Yeah, he's fallen on his back. But this thing is so big, you can target it without worrying about hitting...
Well, I just meant I don't want to use a flamethrower with him right there on his back.
You could aim it at its head, which is a long way away. It's probably about 20 feet away from him. So you've got a chance to aim it if you want, but it's up to you.
But there's a giant snake. I have to use a flamethrower on it. So that's what I'll do.
Yeah, why not, eh?
I have to. Yeah, watch out, Doc. Incoming.
Oh, here we go.
I'll just roll it.
Don't fumble. Okay, well, you failed, which means you don't connect with it.
Okay, well, I'm in a rage and I'm seeing red. So how do I determine what I'm attacking?
You're going to attack this thing first. So you scream at this thing and you run forward with your sword.
That's exactly what I want to do. I go into a huge rage, I scream my head off, and I run at the snake and attack it with my spear.
But you won't go before it then, because your dex is low. It was only because you had the gun. But yeah, so you're going to get to go in a minute. So you run screaming towards it as it tries to strike the professor. Professor, this thing swivels its head round, opens its vast and terrifying mouth, and tries to bite you. Yeah, that's a hit. Now, you managed to dodge out the way. That was very, very fortunate. And it starts to uncoil its body, and next round, it's getting its tail ready to strike at you to try and swat you off its back, but it can't do anything this round. Now, Logan, it's your turn to go forward with your machete, with your rage-filled machete, screaming like the madman that you are. Oh my God!
out of curiosity, was I on the ground next to the snake, or was I above the snake somehow?
You're on the ground next to it.
Okay.
So you run out to it and just slice your sword into it. Now, you basically just run your, you know, with all your strength, you're pushing up and along, and you run this sword all the way up its belly.
Let's see what you had for dinner.
And it's a good thing you did that, because it's got incredibly tough scales. But the skin and scales must be inches thick, because most of the strength, you know, you need all of your strength to even penetrate it at all.
Do amazing things with a drug gun.
But yeah, but you've rolled an 11, but you have done 21 points of damage, and you have definitely wounded it pretty well. But you know that this thing, I mean, even in your rage field, insanity, you realize that this thing is going to need absolute maximum force to even injure it. It was only the incredible strength of your bloke that managed to get through. So, AP, you're still on the back of this thing as it rides around.
So what I want to do is I want to roll off its back onto the ground and then press the barrel of my Tommy gun right up to its body and unload.
So you're at point blank range, of course. How many rounds do you want to pump into it?
Maximum. So roll three rounds.
Okay. On that first one, do you want to spend one luck?
Yes, I do.
Oh my God. All right. So that's madness. Madness. Although 9 bullets, so all 9 rounds hit. But before you do this, how many volleys are you firing?
It was three volleys.
It was 3 volleys. Okay, so I've just learned a new rule that I hadn't read before, because I just assumed it would never happen. But if the attack roll is an extreme success, all shots fired hit the target. What we hadn't read before, because we never needed this before, is the first half of which impale. So the first half is 4, so roll 4d10. Okay, the good news is you do some damage. The bad news is that only the first 4 bullets go in. The rest just bounce off the armor. Your second volley, I think, will also be regular. Regular. Okay. You want to spend 9 luck?
I think I can, yeah.
Okay, because you've done another impact. You've done another extreme. Holy
shit. Yeah, let's spend them all. That brings me down to 43 luck.
Yeah. All right, roll 4d10 again. Jesus Christ, you are decimating my monsters. Okay, you do another 14 damage, and of course the rest of the bullets don't do anything. Jesus Christ.
And then
all right, now your third volley will be with one penalty dice. I'm sure you
should. Should I roll the purple dice then, or the mistake of the game?
Well, unless you want to spend a lot of luck, that all the bullets are going to bounce off.
Okay.
Well, goodness me, this snake rears up in pain as at least a half a dozen bullets thud through the armor. Blood, hot serpent blood spurts all over you, AP, as you get drenched, and you almost feel that you have become Kali, the destroyer, drenched in blood, wielding your weapon. Now it's going to get its turn to attack. So, I think you're its target, AP. There's no question. You have, certainly with its bite, it's going to target you because you have caused it serious, serious harm. But it misses.
Oh.
You know what? I just realized it has luck. I'm going to spend some luck.
As I get swallowed in one gulp.
What is your build? Oh, no, you're too big.
I'm a large fellow.
Yeah, you can't. You're too big to be swallowed. But it's going to bite you anyway.
I have a taste for sweets. I eat too much gulab jamun for that.
You have to make an extreme constitution roll for the poison effect.
Wow.
And you don't take a lot of damage, actually. You only take 3 damage from that bite.
That's good, because I don't have a lot of hit points.
Yeah, the poison would have been... Now, it's going to swing its tail round. Now, this is a little bit more... troubling. So let's see who that's going to target. It could be any of you because it's so big. So I'll just go in the order in which you are in the. So AP is 1-2, Richard is 3-4, Logan is 5-6. Oh dear.
I think they're both me anyway.
Yeah, it's both you and me. This massive tail comes swinging round, slamming you, trying to slam you and crush you to the wall, send you flying across the chamber. Just sends you absolutely hurtling across the room, smashing into the far wall. And this is going to hurt, I'm afraid. I think this is where having that 30 luck will definitely come in handy, because it does 28 damage.
Yeah, that's more than my max hit points.
Yep, and...
Sir Chesterton!
Everyone sees you being hit by this tail and flung across the room. You're just, all they see is a bloody pulverized mess against the wall. And to all intents and purposes, Richard Chesterton has just been killed. Professor and Logan, that is what you see. Your friend has just been killed.
Mr. Selby, I do not think we can win this fight. Chesterton is down.
Tail end of the rage. No, I'll kill this thing.
Don't be a fool, Selby.
I was thinking I might pick up the rifle and shove it inside the wound I just created and pull the trigger.
So you will get a bonus dice. Did you just roll another extreme?
I did.
You did.
Oh my god.
Laughing from beyond the grave.
You're laughing. As you know, with an impale, it also does the maximum damage as well. So you've done 20 damage and the bullet just goes deep, deep into the wound. And you could swear that some organs flew out the other side and the thing lets out this incredible howl of pain and anger, and blood is now coursing up through its mouth. You've wounded it, probably mortally, but it's not quite dead yet. AP, it's on you. You have two volleys left. You better make them count.
All right.
Do you want to fire them both?
No, let's fire both.
Okay. So you get a bonus dice on the first.
Ooh.
Describe what happens as you pump those rounds into this creature and dispatch it to the afterlife.
The snake's head darted down quickly and bit me in the shoulder before, with lightning quickness, rearing back up. And I just pointed the muzzle of my Thompson machine gun right up at its face and unloaded a volley of bullets that sprayed into its open mouth and exited through the back of its head.
Yeah. And in fact, you fired so many shots that I think you've completely decapitated it as well. And the huge fanged head just drops to the ground. What's left of its neck is just thrashing around in the air with blood fountaining upwards onto you again. So you are a sticky, bloody mess.
I'm trying to get to Chesterton, but I'm just slipping and sliding in it.
And you have dispatched this monstrous snake beyond any reason. And Richard, poor dead Richard. Mm-hmm. Or is he? I guess we'll find out next week.
Oh, no!